Please open your Bibles at Romans chapter 4 if you have them, or open your phones up on Romans chapter 4 as we look together at this chapter. I don't know if you've noticed what's been happening in the news, but some of the headlines over the past couple of weeks have been as random as this, that the New Year's honours list has contained people whose surnames begin with A as well as people whose surnames begin with Z. It really was a quiet time of year. Also, the unknown wannabes who are entering the celebrity Big Brother house, well, let's introduce them to you, and you've never heard of them, apart from maybe Anne Widdecombe, and I don't know what she's thinking of. Storm Eleanor damaged a town in Ireland, Galway. Does that make any difference to you? Or the fact that the man who was hailed a hero for helping the victims, the homeless man who helped the victims of the Manchester bombing, was also discovered to have been helping himself to things from the victims of the Manchester bombing. What's that got to do with you? All of these news headlines that hit you, well, you think, well, a lot of them are irrelevant to me. They're not going to make much difference to my life. Here's another one that a lot of people think is irrelevant to their life. It's this. Abraham was justified by faith. Well, so what? Abraham was thousands of years ago. We're not interested in thousands of years ago. This is the first weekend of 2018. Why do we have to keep going back into the Old Testament? We are New Testament Christians. That's the sort of thing we might say. Well, I want to tell you that Abraham being justified by faith is very important, and it's really useful for us to know. One question that you should have as a Christian, or that people will ask you if you're a Christian and they've been wondering about Jesus and they've looked at history, is they'll ask, how were people saved before Jesus came? Have you asked that question? What happened to the people before Jesus came? How were they saved? People might ask you it. Another reason it is relevant is because we find in Abraham an example of what we need to do. It's not here just to hark back to history. It's to show us what we need to do. Paul has been telling the people in Rome what they need to do, that they need to believe, that they need to be justified by faith. And you can almost hear them shout, prove it, Paul. Show us that this is the case. Because we've been told otherwise. We've been told that we will be saved if we are born into the Jewish race. We will be saved if we keep the law. We will be saved if we are circumcised. You've been challenging all of our beliefs, and now you have to prove to us that you are right. And if this is what we are to believe, then we who want to call ourselves Abraham's children, I bet you didn't really want to call yourselves Abraham's children, but you do want to call yourselves Abraham's children, because Abraham received a promise from God that he would be blessed and be a blessing and that God would be with him. And you want to be children like that. So you've been thinking you were, you've been told you were brought up Jewish and all of these things, and now you want to be sure that you are. Well, why? What's Paul saying? We've been out of Romans for a few weeks with Christmas. Let's get back into Romans. So the first message Paul says is, I want to come and visit you. And when I come, I want to share again this good news of Jesus Christ. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of salvation for those who believe, for both Jew and Greek. It's what we all need. Well, why? Because the wrath of God has been revealed, and you can see the mess the world is in as people pretend God doesn't exist and do what they want. And then because of all these things, the wrath of God is coming. A day is coming, and so we need to be ready for it. But the answer is, we have been brought up in the Jewish faith. And Paul says in chapter 2, that doesn't save you. We have kept the law, we say next. That doesn't save you. In fact, we get into Romans chapter 3, and he says there is no one who is righteous, not even one. And Romans chapter 4, we're in now. Paul is proving what he has just said at the end of Romans chapter 3, that we need to be justified or made right with God through faith. We're struggling to believe it. It is relevant. What do we do with it now then? Well, I want you to do something that you probably don't want to really do, but imagine you're young Jewish people. You've been brought up in the tradition. In fact, mum and dad have called you Abraham and Sarah because they want you to be like the good man and they want you to follow the example of the good wife, and they want you to be like them. And you've grown up believing, I will be accepted if I keep the law. And Paul is saying, no, 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 you will be accepted if you believe in God. And so we're going to look at Abraham, we're going to see what has happened by looking there and see what we need to know. And what we need to know, what is useful for 2018 Christians to know, is that Abraham had nothing else to boast in other than his faith in Jesus Christ. And that wasn't a boast. He didn't have works to boast in or anything like that, but that he believed. What's the story of Abraham? He comes from a non-religious background, or a multi-religious background. He's not a faithful person in God's family. He's called from a family who had a bad history. And God said to Abram, as he was called then, I will make you a father of many nations. About 75 years old. We think he's old then, don't we? And then Abram believed God when God said that he would lead his people and do all of these things. And he left what he'd done and he became a servant of God. And he kept on following all of God's commands there. He went where God called him to. Is he from a line of people who obeyed the law? Is he from a line of people who were circumcised? No. It's a really easy one, this. Why not? Because the law hadn't been given to the people, and because circumcision as a covenant hadn't come yet. It was before all of these things that Abraham stepped out in faith and did what God asked him to. So Abraham, if you were to say, what do you attribute your success to? He wouldn't say, it is because I was obedient that God has blessed me. You'd have to say, well, I don't really know, because I wasn't always obedient. You know, I kept going, I kept trying, but do you remember the time I pretended my wife was my sister? Do you remember the time I did that again? I wasn't really that good. And God didn't reward me for my obedience. God rewarded me for my faith. That is the whole story here, that he, in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6, it tells us that it was credited to Abraham as righteousness because he believed God. That's the story. Now, so many people will still tell us that if we believe God, if we are good, God will reward us. And then in Romans chapter 4, Paul says, well, you're talking about wages. Everybody expects wages. When I was 9, I started working at my uncle's garage, and for a 9-year-old to be getting £10 a day for working, it was quite good. This is 30 years ago. I'd still work for £10 a day sometimes. It was really good. I felt that he deserved it. The next summer, he went through a hard time, I think, financially, and my wages went down to £5 a day. I was a wee bit bitter, because I felt I was worth more. And we look at say, God, give us what we're worth. Give us something because we're worth something. My life is worth something. Reward me, I'm worth something. And it's not like that. It's not an obligation that God has to give us righteousness. It is a gift when God gives us righteousness. See, sometimes when I worked at Uncle Edward's garage, I would sort the sweeties. Sort the sweeties. My favourites were the penny shrimps, the cola bottles, and these mushrooms. I remember the local butcher came in and found me sorting the sweeties, and he said, it's like putting a fox in charge of the chickens. I helped myself to some of what was not mine. Now, what would the reward have been for that? If my uncle knew, the reward would have been painful. I would have got what I deserved. And we go and say, God, give to me what I deserve. And he says, you're not perfect. You're not righteous. You don't know what you deserve. If I gave you what you deserved, you would not have anything good. And so you come back into the passage and you see that this is God. However, verse 5, to the man who does not work but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. Wow! God justifies not the people who are obedient some of the time, not the people who try hard. God justifies, God makes right with him those who are wicked. You don't want to say, I'm wicked, but if you're not wicked, you won't be justified. It's as simple as that. We have to recognize that we are not perfect. And if we go and say to God, give because I deserve, we have got nothing. How does he make us right? He gives us righteousness. It is a wonderful thing for us to know. And if you're saying, young Abraham and Sarah, and says, this isn't what mum and dad have been telling me. They've been telling me I have to be good and God will reward me. Well, let's talk about David now then, shall we? You want more proof? Well, David had an affair with a married woman. David impregnated her. David felt guilty about it, wanted to cover things up, so he called her husband back from the front line so that he would go to bed with his wife and it would look like he made her pregnant. But he slept outside the door because he wanted to be ready to serve his king. So David, what did he do next? He sent him back to the front line where he died. And David had guilt inside that was eating him up. And then he confessed his guilt to God. And what did God do? God forgave his transgressions. God covered his sins, made him happy, the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. How did God do it? Well, verse 6 tells us that God credits righteousness apart from works. God credits righteousness apart from works. Get it, understand it. It's not something we work for. And so many people think we still have to keep working for it for God to accept us. No, God accepts us apart from our works. It's not because of what we've done. It is in spite of what we have done that God would forgive us. Now, where does obedience come into all this? Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying go and just forget God justified sinners. Faithful people want to obey the law because God has saved them. God has changed them. They don't go out and do everything they want thinking it doesn't matter. But they don't think that what they have done earns their salvation. They recognize that God saves sinners. And we have to be amazed by this. Please be amazed by it. 2018 starting. What sort of a year is it going to be? I don't know. Can you be amazed at the start of it that God saves sinners? Because that's what gives us hope for ourselves. It's what gives us hope for the people around us. And if we are in the terrible position of having not confessed and asked God to forgive us our sin, then we have to see that God's still angry. But we can have great hope. We can do something really simple about it. We can confess our sin to God, and God is the one who will forgive us. So it's not by the works that we have done. And these works are covered in two ways. You see that from verse 9. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? Well, the point's already been made and we want to prove it. And we say, go back to Genesis and you find that God credited Abraham with righteousness, chapter 15. You move forward a couple of chapters, chapter 17, you see the covenant of circumcision. It comes after God credited him with righteousness, 14 years later. That's what we're saying. So we can't say it depends on a sign. Well, how would we do that today? Well, some people would say, I'm saved because I was baptized or I was christened. It isn't because of a sign. That these signs do nothing to save you. They show God's faithfulness. They show us pledging to believe God's faithfulness, but they do not mean that we are saved. Now, I think it's less of a problem in Scotland in 2018 because so many people aren't being baptized, so many people aren't being christened. It's just not happening. Religious signs mean so little, but people still hold on to something that's happened, something that's done. My granny was a Christian, my Sunday school teacher told me all of this. No, God justifies the wicked and he saves them, and he saves them alone. So we don't rest on the outward sign. We believe, we do what Abraham did, because as we read on, verse 12, he is also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. So what are his children to be like? They're to walk in the footsteps of faith, and we saw in verse 11, so then he is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. Young Abraham, young Sarah, this is what your father Abraham was like. He believed God. This is what you have to do. You have to believe God and not rest on these signs. Well, then we move on, verse 13. It was not through the law. So the law is the next thing we say, but I've been good. And we've already seen that it's apart from works, but we have to see that it's not just apart from works, but that the promise, verse 16, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. By faith, by grace, by faith, by grace, by faith, by grace, by faith, by grace. Get it in your heads. How are we saved? By faith, by believing God. Well, why does that do anything for us? By grace, because God freely gives his forgiveness. It's not because of what we have done, but it is in spite of what we have done. God forgives people who put their trust in him. Well, what does the law do then? You go back up to verse 14, for if those who live by law are heirs, faith is no value and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. Okay, what does the law do? We rewind and say, well, what's the point of it? What is the point of the law? It'd be interesting to ask people, what do you think the law has done for you? Somebody might say, well, I'm so glad I know the law, because it's made me a whole lot better than the riffraff who I live next door to, and you should see the way they behave, but I uphold the law. Or you might see somebody who would say, well, the law has been a bind to me all my life. Demand after demand, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, and I'm not good enough. What has the law done? The law has told me that God is angry. That's what Paul is saying here. The law brings wrath. The law shows me that. Paul speaks in the letter to the Galatians about the law being a teacher. Teaches us how to live. But it shows us the difference between us and God. Yes, it's a really good thing to try and live within the confines of the law. But when you try and live within the confines of the law, what does it tell you? It tells me I haven't been able to live within the confines of the law. So the law, if we don't become heirs of God's promises by living by the law, but faith is the thing that has value. Faith is the thing that brings the promise to us. The law has brought us wrath. And if there was no law, there would be no wrath of God. Simple. But there is law. There has been law, there is wrath of God that the world needs to deal with. So we have to believe, and we have to believe by faith. That's what we need to have, faith, and we recognize it comes by grace. Well, young Abraham, young Sarah, what's that to be in? What have you to do now? Well, look at verse 16. The promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but those who are of the faith of Abraham. He's the father of us all. So it's through doing what Abraham did. Well, what did he do? Verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it was said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening his faith, he faced the fact that his body, as good as dead, was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. You're going to be a daddy. Young men want to hear that promise. 100 years old, how am I going to be a daddy? But he believed it, didn't he? He kept on believing God's word. And he believed in that God would bring a nation from him, that he would keep on doing that. When I grew up, New Year was a bit of a time for what we used to call first footing. It hardly happens anymore, but there would be a lot of staggering. People would go into houses, drink too much, and stagger out of them. Look at Abraham. What it tells us here is that Abraham did not stagger. Verse 20, yet he did not waver. He did not stagger. He kept going. He kept believing the promise of God, and he lived knowing the promise of God. That's what Abraham did. What did he believe? Well, he believed in the power of God, that God brings life to the dead. I'm 100 years old. My body's as good as dead. God brings life to the dead. He brings things that where there was nothing, and he makes something. I'm 100 years old. I'm a daddy. There was nothing. There is something. It is wonderful. He believed God would do these things. What happens next? Well, what's the point in you knowing this in 2018? Why should you do this? Well, these words were not for him alone. The words it was credited to him were not written for him alone, but also for us to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. What have you to do with this? You have to see that this was for you too. This isn't of irrelevance to you. This news is worth you noting it. They're for you. For to you who God will credit righteousness. Well, what do you need to do for God to credit righteousness to you? It is for us who believe in him. We believe in God. We believe in God who is their God. Who did what? Who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. What do we need to believe? We need to believe Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus, our Lord. So we don't just believe Jesus, a man. We believe Jesus is Lord. And God raised him from the dead. We can only be saved if God raised him from the dead. Well, what happened to this Jesus? He was delivered over to death, and that he was delivered seems to apply to God, that God let this happen, not that the scribes and the Pharisees and the Romans did this, but God did this for us. He was delivered over to death for our sins. That on the cross of Calvary, Jesus died for our sins. And we have to believe that, that the punishment for our sins was on Jesus Christ. The punishment for my sins was then not on this wicked man. God justifies the wicked. God makes me justified because the punishment for sins is on Jesus. And Jesus was raised to life for our justification so that we would be right with God. That's what we have to believe. That's what the good news of Jesus Christ is. Well, if you have never grasped that, if you have never believed that God sent his son Jesus, who is Lord, and raised him from the dead, and that it was for your sin, then believe that. Don't try and make yourself acceptable by what happened to you when you were a child, or what you have done since to try and win God's favor, but recognize God justifies the wicked. And for those of us who have believed that, what a wonderful gospel we have. What a glorious good news we have to go and to tell others. People who are trying so hard, who are trying to work their way into heaven. And they can't. For people who have nothing and who think it's impossible. For people who think they've been too bad for God to change them. For all of these people, we are the ones who know, because God's word tells us that it is by faith that people are credited with righteousness. So we need to tell people what they need to believe. I wonder in 2018 how many of us will have that opportunity. Well, will we look for the opportunity to tell people, or will we run away from it? What do we need to do? John spoke about, wouldn't it be wonderful if people gave us land? And I think it would be wonderful if people gave us land and then came along with bricks and a roof and built us a church. That is not what ministers should do. Don't do that. What do we need? I read this week, we need to make disciples. Hey, where did I read that? In the Bible. I also read it on Facebook. That doesn't make it any more valuable, but we need to make disciples more than we need to build a church, because if we make disciples, we will build a church. If we try and build a church, we're unlikely to make disciples. We are the people who can go out from here to go and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know what they need. They don't know what they need to do. Will we be the people who tell them? Well, that's a challenge. That's what we exist to do, to go and make disciples of all nations. John showed us already Scotland is one of these nations. Let's do it. Let's do it. And let's see more people say, this Abraham guy, I need to do what he did. I need to be like him. I need to believe God. Let's pray.